Thank you for being a good sport this morning and walking around with your palm branches. You know, you probably wondered, why are we doing this? We want to kind of get in the mood to, this is what happened 2,000 years ago, and I know we didn't do it exactly. We didn't take off our cloaks and put it down, but we want to commemorate and kind of join the early church, if you will, to see these are the things that happened. These are the things that took place. So now I want you to imagine, you know, from our 21st century imagination, you know, how can we connect? And I thought, imagine that you have purchased this brand new car of your choice, of your dream, okay? I don't know what your dream car is, but you have purchased it debt-free, okay? It could be a Cadillac, a Mercedes, BMW. You ask the younger generation, yeah, Lamborghini, Porsche. And the names go on, which I don't even know what those names of those cars might have been or are. But you have purchased this dream machine. Okay. And you are driving to church. And you think, oh, I'll stop at Tim Hortons, pick up a coffee. So there you are at Tim Hortons, and you're going to go in, you know, so just let the car sit in the parking lot for a while. And a couple of guys approach you, and they tell you, could we borrow that new car of yours? You know, our leader wants us to borrow it from you so that he can drive it today down Main Street and share of what he is going to do. What's your thoughts? What are you going to do? Up, here's the keys. Buddy, find somebody else. You know, go find another car. Who are you? Let me see your driver's license. Well, that's if you're willing to let go of this prized possession. How would you react? Would you panic? Would you freeze? Would you quickly make it to the car and take off? Or would you ask these kind of questions? Do you suppose some of those feelings happened to this person who had this colt? It was expensive. It was a prized possession at the time. For us today, it's hard to imagine, and that's what I'm saying about your new car. It was a prized possession. You think he thought of this? Two of these guys come and says, our Lord or our master wants your colt. They're untying it. The Lord has need of it. It's interesting to me to think of how Jesus sends these two disciples. They are to find the donkey and untie it and bring it to him. And he tells them, if anyone asks you, why are you untying? Why are you starting my car? What's going on with you? You will tell that person, the owner, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. think of that for a moment. Just let your imagination go wild. What would have you done? What have you done? You know, this person owns this colt, a prized possession. I'm sure he was taken aback. Or the family, you know, I don't know who lived in the house. You know, the scripture does not give more details about this person. I mean, scripture does that, doesn't it? You know, it just gives a story and we're like, what happened? What happened to this person? Who is this person? What's the street address? Who was this person? Had he heard about Jesus? Had he met Jesus? Did he know the Messiah was coming? Did he know that he is going to be part of God's plan? Think about it. This person who said, okay, here is my prized possession, my car. Yeah, here's the keys. Take it. You said the Lord needs it. Here you go. Did he realize that he is preparing, part of the preparation of what was to come, his kingdom to come on earth? His kingdom to come on earth. And this person gave the keys and said, here it is. Okay, take it. Take it for a ride. You know, we don't know if their little colt got lost in Jerusalem. You know, after all that happened, did he get back to the house? You know, all those questions go through my mind. We don't know. Jesus, in Mark's gospel, never comes right out and says, I am the Messiah. But he does Messiah-like things. Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy that was in Zechariah 9:9. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humbled and mounted on a colt. So here is a prophecy that Jesus is fulfilling. And did you know that Jesus says, the Lord has a need? This is the first place, only place here in Mark's gospel, Jesus referred to himself as Lord. It is so important. Jesus calls himself, I mean, he is the Son of God, but he is revealing that to those folks around him by saying, the Lord has a need. There is no other places that refer to him as Lord. But Jesus refers, and Mark absorbs it. Mark puts it down in his gospel, writes it out. The Lord has a need. Could you imagine that? The Lord has a need? I mean, he is God. Why would he need any help? Why would he need any help? But the Lord is in need. There Interpreter Bible commentary there says there are skills that can be put to the use of the kingdom, personality that can be the instrument of his truth, feet that can go on his errands, hands that can lift burdens. If this man in Jerusalem who owned the colt had treated the disciples who came for it the same way we often treat God's call for help, the conversation might have been, "Here, what are you doing with my colt? Leave it alone. The Lord has need of it. Who cares? This is my property. Who do you think you are to come and untie or start my car?" You see the conversation? Well, we could go on and say, "Sorry, but my time is limited. Besides, it's my time. Sorry, I can't take on this thing. I'm already busy. I cannot do this. Sorry, but I have given all I have given. I cannot give any more. Don't call on me. I will call you." Jesus' disciples say, "The Lord has a need. The Lord has a need. And you can fulfill that need." God says to us, if you aren't going to do anything with them, will you loan them to me for a while? I was thinking, you know, how we are. I mean, yes, I mean, all of us. I mean, we've got retirements. We've got to save up for our time when we retire. And do this and do that and do all that stuff. And the Lord is saying, well, could I borrow some from your, whatever you have? Could I just borrow it right now? Because I need it right now. I mean, I cannot wait for your retirement time, but I need it right now. I am going into Jerusalem. I am going to walk through this week to the cross. I am going to be crucified for you. I cannot wait. Would you let me have your call? Could I use it today? Could I use it? What would be our response? How are we going to respond? The Lord wants it right now to fulfill God's purposes. Paul taught us never to say to one another, "I have no need of you," 1 Corinthians 12:21. But to say that God needs us in another matter. In one sense, of course, God doesn't need anything. God is God. But God has chosen to work in certain ways that make you and me absolutely critical. As someone has put it, without God, we can't. Without us, God won't. So do you know how important our role is in spreading the gospel? You know, we might think, whoops, you know, I'm no big person. God doesn't need me. I mean, I've heard that. Oh, he doesn't need me. What if this man, this colt said, "Up, oh, I'm not going with you." Or the man said, "Nope, don't take my colt. That's mine." Well, I'm sure God would have found another way, but aren't you glad? Wasn't, I'm sure the person who gave that colt to the Lord that day would have said, "Oh, thank you, God, for helping me serve, to serve, to be an obedient servant so that Jesus could go into Jerusalem, that Jesus could start his mission, his purpose, what God had planned. We are needed. Every last one of us is needed. Even those of us who feel no one needs us, those who believe they have nothing to offer that anyone would want. When we hear the call, the Lord has need of it. It doesn't matter who we are or what we have. If we respond to that call, we become agents of love and peace and goodness and reconciliation. We may go unnoticed. We don't know this person's name. We don't know what happened. In fact, we may be surprised and humbly disclaim any decisions. But God knows who that person was. God, I'm sure, blessed that person. And that person who gave up that colt that day was satisfied, though it had to be taking the Lord to his cross. But he was fulfilling. He was fulfilling. So the owner of the donkey, the colt, in learning the art of lending his colt, teaches us the art of being willing to be used, no matter who we are, even so insignificant, but allowing God to take and use us. So this Holy Week, as you journey, as you ponder, as you walk with the Lord, you could take time to read those gospel lessons that takes Jesus to the cross. Jesus is asking us today, could I use your colt? Could I use your colt to fulfill the purpose? May we be willing to give him what he asks of us and to serve him so that his kingdom can come. His will could be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for knocking at our doors. Thank you, Lord, for asking us to give you a hand. Lord, we know that you have everything. You have everything, but still, you need us. We are your hands. We are your feet. Without us, Lord, you cannot fulfill your purpose. Help us, Lord, to be willing to share, to give, to help bring your kingdom here on earth. So bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.